It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideals Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll ask you, what was the best gift you gave or received this holiday season?
But first, there have been calls lately to change the way Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice is selected.
Right now, it's all about seniority. Whoever's been there the longest gets the gig. State lawmakers have taken the first step toward amending the state's constitution to change that, but it'll take a while. Christian Schneider made the case for that change in a recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel column. He joins us now. Christian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So how big a part of the support for this change comes from the Republican majority in the legislature not liking the current Chief Justice, who we get under the seniority system, Justice Shirley Abramson?
Probably a great deal. I don't think anybody would argue that Shirley's kind of irascibility isn't a main reason behind this. But, you know, as I said in my column, despite all of that, I still think there are probably good reasons to do this, and there are reasons to change it in the Constitution.
Let's get into the reasons long term, forgetting who the Chief Justice is now or would be right away under the new system. What is the long term case to make that change and the change would be to have the justices elect the Chief Justice instead of the seniority appointment?
Yeah, well, this has been in the Constitution for 124 years, and I don't really think it's been tested all that much, but it's gotten to the point now where, you've seen all the stories where, the justices just aren't getting along. There are fewer cases being decided, and there's just a lot of acrimony on the court. You've seen from a couple years ago the famous case where there was actually a physical altercation over when the decision to the Act 10 decision was going to be released. So you've seen a lot of that and a lot of news articles about that. And a lot of the signs point to, sometimes you'll have a Chief Justice who's there and, in this case is a liberal, and you have four conservative members of the court that make up the majority. And just because the Chief Justice happens to be there the longest, she gets to decide a lot of the scheduling and when things come out and things like that, which causes a lot of problems on the court. So instead of having a situation like we have in the legislature where, senators and representatives, they kind of get together and they decide who they want to be their leader, somebody who has to go out and forge relationships and kind of do the work of getting support behind them. Instead, it just seems strange to take just the person that happens to have been there the longest and lead the court, especially when you kind of have a split court like we do now.
But wouldn't this just be one more decision that highlights the partisan divide? In addition to the partisan cases they see, they're going to split ranks, the conservative versus liberals, on electing the Chief Justice.
I just think it's important for people on the court to kind of decide the way they want the court to be run. Like I said, just like they do in the legislature, they get to decide, who they want to pick to schedule the bills that come up and all of that. It's just not the case, whether you're in a union or any other kind of group, that you just take the person who's been there the longest and make them the leader. It's usually the person that you can get along with the best. And, you should have a say in how you want your workplace to be run. And that's, the conservatives on the court right now don't have that option. They kind of have to do what Shirley Abramson tells them to do strictly because she's, been there the longest.
And the Republican-controlled legislature passed the first hurdle on this change, I think, back in October. What's the next step going forward?
Well, it's both houses of the legislature have passed it, as you said, this session. So it's got to be passed again next session, and then it goes to the public for a full vote. And if they do it quickly, they would have to pass it early in 2015 for it to be on the spring ballot, which would be in April of 2015, which is actually kind of an interesting date to have the election. Because that's also when we'll be electing a Supreme Court justice. And so that'll probably be near the end, thankfully, of an acrimonious Supreme Court election as well. So I think people's eyes will have been on the court for a while at that point.
Is this something you think the public would be worked up about? I mean, just hearing about it, it seems just sort of a procedural thing that it might be hard to get the electorate excited about one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have justices out there making the case of why it either works or doesn't work, which is, you know, it's a little strange. Generally, you don't hear from justices, you know, during a during an election, the justices that aren't actually up for election. So you'll actually have some people involved in politics, you know, and we kind of feel a little bit weird when judges actually get involved in politics, but that would be the case here. So they'll be out making the case, and, you know, the legislature made a change a few years ago where they changed the way that the governor could veto the budget bill and other types of bills, and that was something people probably didn't really know a whole lot about when it went to them for a vote, but I think people figured it out and made the change. So, you know, hopefully by the time this comes around, people will have heard enough about it.
We've got a caller. Ann in Stevens Point is with us. Ann, hi.
Hello. Well, I think that this is just more of the same. It's another example of trying to grab power on the part of the right. They already own the court because of campaigns where huge amounts of money were poured in by interest groups that are conservative. And this is just another opportunity for them to continue to gain power.
Gotcha, Anne. Not too much time left. I want to get a response from Christian. So this is just another, she says, effort to gotta lock that down, I guess, and cement control of the Supreme Court while there's a conservative majority.
Yeah, well, I mean, the conservative majority controls most everything. What we're talking about here is the Chief Justice, who is really kind of an administrative position. She doesn't get to decide what cases are decided or how they're decided. It's more of just kind of a getting along thing on the court, and you know, whether it's kind of gumming up the works right now. So I just want the court to be able to work better. It's not really going to change a whole lot in what they decide.
And one possible hurdle remains between the vote last fall and that referendum that would happen. That's the second vote would be after next fall's elections.
Right.
There's a chance, I suppose, that Democrats could get control over one of the houses. Would that effectively derail this effort to amend the Constitution, do you think?
I think it probably would. I don't think it's likely that's going to happen, but yeah, if either the Senate or the Assembly went Democrat, they might, they might not be. I think this is, it actually passed on a fairly partisan vote, with most Democrats voting against it. So that would signal that they're probably not on board.
All right, well, that's one we'll be watching in 2014 for sure. Christian, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Christian Schneider, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel.
And coming up, we'd like to hear from you to tell us about the best present that you gave or have received this holiday season, whatever it might be. A pair of socks, perhaps? There's, you know,
some fine socks.
They're fine socks. So give us a call now. Tell us what your best present that you gave to somebody, why you gave it or received, and talk about that. That's 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Or you can email us, talk@WPR.org.
It can be an exciting whiz-bang toy or mm-hmm. some really meaningful thing from or to a kid, you name it. 800-642-1234.